You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush.
Hey friends, John Bush here with the Live Free Now show, bringing you news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free and prosperous life. And today I have a very important broadcast for you to talk about something that is controversial and extremely important right now because of what's taking place in this country. There's a lot of turmoil. And a lot of people are rising up, demanding justice in the wake of what took place with the murder of George Floyd up there in Minneapolis. And there's actually a conversation taking place right now about whether or not to defund the police. So I wanted to share my perspective, my views on the topic, and share some alternatives that I think could be extremely beneficial so we don't get caught in the same vicious cycle of violence. So I've been involved with police accountability for quite some time, although I took a step back for a while to focus on my family, entrepreneurship, and growth in some other areas. But I've been an activist for around 20 years, and a good chunk of that was dedicated to police accountability. In Austin, Texas, I helped to co-found the Peaceful Streets Project after Antonio Beeler was arrested unjustly. And we spent a lot of time hosting Know Your Rights trainings. We handed out video cameras and encouraged people to film the police. We hosted a couple of conferences. One of them, we had Bobby Seale, co-founder of the Black Panther Party, which I'll talk about more, the work that they did back in the day. We also had Radley Balco. He's a writer on police accountability issues. And so for quite some time as well, I've been a voluntarist, an anarchist, an agorist, someone that believes in order to solve much of our problems, rather than working within the system, we should build new systems altogether, systems that are based on voluntary interaction rather than coercive hierarchies. And we see that police departments are exactly that. They are a monopolization on defense and public safety in a given geographic area. So we're going to talk about the nature of the state and the enforcement class of the state and its laws, regulations, edicts, why operating within that paradigm of monopolies, taking out choice, is doomed to fail. And I'm going to offer some alternatives: private security, community defense, private firearms ownerships. We're going to talk about the work of John Lott that showed that firearms in the hands of law-abiding people actually leads to less crime. So this is actually a really controversial topic. Every time I bring up dismantling the police rather than defunding the police, there's always people that are screaming out, oh, it'll be anarchy. There'll be rioting and looting and raping taking place. And I'm quick to demonstrate and point out that that's already what's taking place right now. We do have municipal police departments, and there is rioting and chaos taking place, right? Everyone says anarchy will happen. Well, I define anarchy as the word, the etymology of the word, without rulers. That's what I see as anarchy, which would be a good thing, not the chaos and destruction that the word has been taken as of late. So first, let's talk about the origins of police. And I'm going to go to some of y'all's comments here, maybe not as I'm rambling on, but we'll go back and check those out. And I'm actually at the beach here in Galveston on a little mini vacay. My birthday is tomorrow. My family's here. That's my pops's leg over there. My kiddos. You might hear some screaming and stuff in the background, but that's fine. It's not about the quality of the content. It's about the quality of the conversation and the message. Okay, so a lot of people aren't aware that there's a lot going on right now to try to uproot racism. And racism is definitely a very real thing. And for people that don't believe that, then they aren't paying attention, or perhaps they've never been the victim of racism. But it's a very big problem. And there's so much racism that is pervaded and perpetrated by the law enforcement class. In addition to the racist tendencies of police, it's not just against minorities. There is also a lot of violence, coercion, oppression against all types of people, all walks of life. However, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that, yes, indeed, there are groups, low-income, homeless, African-Americans, that are more targeted, a lot of the brunt of the police brutality is directed at these groups. And that is a problem. So that's why this conversation is taking place, because the African-American community is basically rising up right now, and people are fed up. People have had enough. Basta ya, as the Mexicano revolutionaries say, enough is enough. And people are rising up. And that's why this conversation is taking place about defunding the police. Now we learn that Minneapolis is defunding the police. They plan to defund the police. But they say that we're going to defund it as we're going to eliminate the police as they exist now. Who knows what they're going to replace it with? Well, the racism that I brought up, a lot of law enforcement agencies, municipal police departments especially, are inherently racist, because the origins of municipal police departments are what used to be referred to as slave patrols. So when slaves were freed, and when African-Americans all of a sudden were participating more in society and weren't just owned as slaves, people owning other human beings, the former slave owners and landowners and the aristocracy and the ruling class at the time was scared shitless. The black community, the black culture, has a lot of very strong roots, very strong and powerful people. And they were worried that these people were going to rise up and seek justice. So they created this police force, which would essentially keep black Americans in check and prevent that. Right. And we had the whole Jim Crow era as well. Additionally, firearms, the original gun regulations and gun control was meant at keeping firearms out of the hands of newly freed slaves. So these institutions have their roots in racism, in controlling the black population. And it only makes sense now that a lot of that continues on to this day. So I wanted to point that out. That would be something that would be foolish to avoid in this conversation. Then we have the state, right? So this is being broadcast on the Conscious Resistance Network. It's also being broadcast on my personal Facebook page, my personal YouTube channel. A lot of people on the Conscious Resistance Network are aware of the nature of the state, but I define a state not like the state of Texas, but also the state of Texas, not, you know, a nation versus a state, but state is an institution which exercises a geographic or a regional monopoly on the initiation of force or violence, right? And I believe that states, the institution of the state of government, although you can have governments and they don't necessarily have to be that way, but that's how the modern state is today. They are in large part, this institution, the state, responsible for holding back human flourishing, in my opinion, and creating all sorts of harm. Now, there are human beings that are bad actors and negative influences and people that want to go hurt and harm other people. There are racists that want to harm other races, right? There's predators out there. The problem with the state and the problem with law enforcement is that whenever the state harms others, they are able to avoid and shield themselves from liability. Whenever there's a private criminal that hurts another person, there is often an opportunity for them to be held accountable. Whenever you have a public criminal or a police officer, for example, there is something that's called sovereign immunity. And thankfully, that's one of the things that people are going after right now. The police officers are able to have immunity, so they don't get held accountable in the court of law. And that is a big problem. That is a big problem with the state. Another problem with municipal police departments as an institution is that it doesn't allow for competition oftentimes, right? So what I would like to offer up is that we allow communities, neighborhoods, cities to choose whatever form of public safety they see fit, they deem as necessary to keep the peace, they think would help to help with public safety, right? And so whenever you have a municipal police department, like the Austin Police Department, for example, that doesn't let in competition. Whenever you have competition, different private security departments, a militia group, a community defense group, a community watch group, firearms in the hands of peaceful people, a neighborhood watch group, we can have an experimentation to see exactly what works. And for people that are worried about that, I would like to point out that the status quo, take Chicago, for example, which has an extremely high crime rate, extremely high murder rate, they have a municipal police department and it's just not working. Chances are in any major city, there are a slew of examples of police officers engaging in police brutality, it being covered up by the thin blue line. There are a slew of examples of African-Americans being harmed disproportionately to other groups. So we have the status quo, and the status quo isn't working, which is why now is a ripe opportunity to try these alternatives. So when it comes to defunding, which in most cases, people are simply talking about taking away resources, taking away budgetary money from the police department and diverting it elsewhere, I don't believe that's going to solve the initial problem. One of the big problems I see people pointing out in the comments, also talking about federal funds to the states and police, that's a big thing. Strings attached. That's why the militarization of police happened through federal grant programs. And oftentimes there's strings attached. I studied a whole lot of that back in the Operation Defuse days when me and Catherine Bleich traveled around the country exposing the fusion centers, the institutions that would merge local, state, and federal law enforcement information gathering and law enforcement practices. We came to learn how they would get federal funding to set up these fusion center, Big Brother data centers, and in exchange, they would keep track on certain activists. They would share that information with the FBI, so on and so forth. The police unions are a huge problem that we see, that they get in, they take footing, they finance, bankroll politicians, they throw politicians out through their influence. And they're the ones that have the police union contract with the city that basically exempts law enforcement from all sorts of scrutiny and public accountability. In many instances, the activists in the town fight tooth and nail to simply get some sort of police oversight committee, which is oftentimes toothless and impotent and weak. That's as far as activists can go in many instances. So reforming and defunding, first of all, I'm a taxation to theft kind of guy. So if we're going to take money away from the police departments, I would say just let people keep it. But I think a lot of the conversation that's taking place now is to take money from the police department and then give it to these marginalized communities through public service programs and so on and so forth. I say that we shouldn't stop there. I say that we should eliminate and dismantle law enforcement altogether. Look, maybe there's some law enforcement institutions in certain counties or cities and everything's peachy cream. I highly doubt that. But there are especially some areas like my hometown of Austin, Texas, like Minneapolis, like Houston, Texas, with old Art Acevedo, my old buddy. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Chicago, LAPD, NYPD is absolutely disgusting. And there's no reason why we shouldn't experiment with alternatives. So what can some of these alternatives be? We're not simply calling for a vacuum, anarchy, as many people would misnomer the term. What we're calling for is alternatives to be put in place. So some of those alternatives would be private security. And of course, everyone's like, oh, private security, they'll be unaccountable and we'll have the Pinkertons, so on and so forth. Well, if a given geographic jurisdiction, maybe it's the city government, maybe it's a neighborhood association, this already takes place. This isn't such a far-fetched idea. In many wealthier neighborhoods, they actually have private security forces that patrol the neighborhood. They have big gates and fences, right? This is already happening. Oftentimes, the residents, if there's something sketchy going on, if there's a crime that takes place, they don't need to call the municipal police department. They already have their private security institution in place. If a municipal government were to award contracts to private security forces, in this regard, at least those institutions, those businesses would be accountable to the public in that if they don't do their job, if they don't serve their customers, they could be thrown out and someone would replace them, right? This is how competition and choice works. With the status quo, there's only one institution that no matter how pitiful and pathetic and harmful it is to the general public, the tax revenue continues to flow and they continue to get grants from the federal and state government, and they continue to exist. The mechanism of accountability is not working. It's not in place whatsoever. I would like to open it up to a more decentralized approach, whereby it's not the massive city government, the city council, choosing one top-down, one-size-fits-all. Rather, it's neighborhoods and communities that are choosing their own method of securing public safety, keeping the peace on the streets. Some neighborhoods may prefer to hire a private security force. Some neighborhoods may prefer to do a community defense group, which we see taking place right now in the vacuum. A lot of law enforcement in Minnesota and Minneapolis is focused on the riots, or a lot of times they just pulled back. It was too chaotic. They let things go to hell. Well, neighborhoods, business owners, residents, they took it upon themselves to secure the defense. There are some Spanish and Latin American communities, Latino communities in Minneapolis that formed their own community security watch group. They carried firearms as well. This isn't unheard of. This has taken place. I spent some time visiting the community of Chadon in Mexico, where they weren't dealing with racist police brutality. They were dealing with cartel groups that were coming. This is in the state of Michoacan, very mountainous, very forested. They had cartel groups that were coming in, deforesting their sacred forest. Chadon is an indigenous community going back centuries. They were coming in. They even resisted against the Aztecs. They were one of the communities that actually pushed back and fought back. They ended up acquiescing at the end of the day, but they fought back and resisted better than a lot of the Mexican indigenous communities back in the day against the Aztec Empire. They resisted against the Spanish as well, but acquiesced in the end, but they didn't have the killing and slaughter. So they pushed back against the cartel groups. And when the people were starting to say, basta ya, enough is enough, they recognized that the local municipal police in Chadon, Michoacan, and the mayor were in cahoots with the illegal logging that was taking place with the cartel group. So what did they do? They had an uprising, a levantamiento. They rose up, led by the women, a lot of elder women as well. They threw the cartel groups out. Then they disbanded and dismantled, not defunded the municipal police. They kicked all of the municipal police out. They kicked the mayor out. They completely dismantled the government as it existed and instead instituted an indigenous form of governance that is consensus-based, splitting up the town into four barrios. Now, the community defense that they have now, it's called Ronda Comunidad, it's like the community rounds, is more of a militia than a municipal police department, and it is comprised of people that live within Chadon. Oftentimes in big cities, we see a problem where with Austin, Texas, for example, a lot of the police live in Round Rock and Pflugerville and Buda and Manor and the surrounding communities. What takes place in Chadon, which is a smaller population, and admittedly, it's easier to do these types of experience in a smaller community rather than a big, massive city, which is why, just as they did in Chadon, even though it's on a smaller scale, you can decentralize and break up the city into neighborhoods, into regions, and experiment with different forms of defense. But they kicked out the police. All of the militia community defense, the Ronda Comunidad folks, are from within Chadon, and they are directly accountable to the people, to their neighbors. You see, it's much easier to hold a corrupt police officer accountable when they live next door to you and all of the families and neighbors know one another and they come out in the community and have regular meetings where they elect the leaders, right? So that's just one example of what took place in Chadon. There's no reason why this can't take place in the states, in the U.S. So you can have private security, private defense for those that could afford it, or a municipal government could give the contract to a new form of defense. And, you know, another thing with municipal police, there's another story of this former football player. He's African American. This was from like 4 or 5 years ago in Williamson County, and then he ran from the police. We never got to know why he ran, because he was killed by the police. He was tased 4 times. And what I want to point out is the use of force and the way that police, law enforcement operate is, it's like, if you're going to resist them or if you're going to run from them, this ego thing comes into play. And at all costs, they focus on stopping you, arresting you, putting you in cuffs. The emphasis isn't on de-escalation, even though oftentimes local municipal police get trained in de-escalation. They don't get trained enough. They don't take it seriously. If you had a private security force, you could hire the force that is the most trained and accredited in these alternative forms of dispute resolution. Maybe they're trained in nonviolent communication. Maybe they take courses on how to deal with people that are obviously exhibiting mental health issues. Now, municipal police are supposed to do this, but they simply don't. So whenever you open up choice and competition, a neighborhood or municipality can choose a private security force that is well-versed, that has a history of de-escalating, that really helps to keep the peace rather than hurting people. Outside of that, let the people defend themselves as they did in Chadong, community defense groups, community watch groups. Here on the Conscious Resistance, Derek Brose and I and many other people, this has spread into a worldwide movement. We're encouraging the creation of freedom cells, small groups of around 8 to 10 people that link up and are united for mutual aid, for mutual defense. They then encourage the creation of other groups of 8 that form up and create mutual aid, mutual defense. Once you have 8 to 10 groups of 8 to 10, you now have approximately 100 people. Those are the inner cadres. You create a middle cadre of a group of 100 that all support one another and help one another. These types of decentralized infrastructure can be created from the ground up in an organic, accountable way. On top of that, militia groups. This country has a ripe history of militia, and we even see what many people are calling the Boogaloo Boys and militia types that are going out and defending small businesses. Many of them are defending protesters from law enforcement. In Texas, we saw some militia types go out, and I forget the name of their organization, but they defended the Alamo from rioters and from vandals and from protesting that was getting out of control. So the citizenry, I don't like that term citizen because I equate it with subject, right? The people of a community can arm themselves, can train, can utilize best practices. As I spoke of before, the work of John Lott, he's a professor, and he demonstrated that more guns equal less crime. Firearms in the hands of law-abiding citizens, law-abiding people, actually equals less crime. And in order to determine this, he took the number of concealed carry permit holders. Again, as a voluntarist anarchist, I don't think you should have to ask permission to conceal carry a firearm, but in many jurisdictions you do. He took that data and found that in the political jurisdictions that had more people that had concealed carry permits, that classifies you as a law-abiding citizen because you can't get your concealed carry if you have felonies or broke, so on and so forth laws. There was actually a dramatic reduction in crime. Conversely, in cities like Chicago, New York City, where they have immense gun control, you have a huge occurrence of crime, violent crime, property crime, murder. It is my contention that if we were to put firearms in the hands of more people, more law-abiding people, we would see a dramatic reduction in crime. When you call 911, it takes a very long time for the police to come out. If it's a property crime, oftentimes they don't need the detectives. They have other fish to fry. A lot of people are dissatisfied with the quality of service that they receive. It's a lot faster to dial 9mm, they say, than it is to dial 911. And so I think that's something that's important. Now let's get to the work of the Black Panther Party. This flashback 30, 40 years, we had the exact same thing taking place as is taking place today. Municipal police were roughing up African-Americans, police brutality at an alarmingly disproportionate rate, especially in low-income Black neighborhoods. The Black Panther parties had had enough. They formed up. Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, they armed themselves and marched and patrolled communities and made it clear to law enforcement that there is an armed presence of people that are willing to do whatever it takes in order to ensure that the people in this community are not brutalized by law enforcement. And boy, did it have an impact, such an impact that the FBI later murdered almost all of the leadership, especially Huey Newton, who was more radical than a lot of the other ones, of the Black Panther Party. But it just goes to show that this has happened in history, and you bet it was successful to minimize police brutality in those neighborhoods where they had those citizen Black Panther patrols. There's no reason why this can't take place now, and in fact, it is taking place right now with the new Black Panther Party or the Huey Newton Gun Club that we see in Dallas and chapters all across the country. So these are some alternatives that we can see. Maybe there's some experimental stuff that we've never even seen before. But I want to reiterate my thesis that defunding the police, reforming the police, is not going far enough. They have had, the institution as a whole has had its opportunity, its time to shine. And time again, unfortunately, they have revealed themselves to be ineffective at keeping the peace, and rather they brutalize. They're more effective at brutalizing and harming so many people. Now that the conversation is taking place, now that there's a mass uprising in the wake of the George Floyd killing, I think the conversation, we as voluntarists, free thinkers, anarchists, it's up to us to insert into the conversation the possibility of trying something radically different from municipal police altogether. I've laid out some options on what that might look like. Private security, again, let them neighborhoods choose. Decentralize it as much as possible. It's obviously easier for the city of Chadon, for the town of Chadon, to engage in this type of activity. I think that's 20,000 people. I don't remember the exact number. It's obviously easier for a small community to do that, but even that community split up into four barrios, right? So a city of 1 million, 10 million can split up into boroughs as they have in New York City, and then further into their certain neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods can come together and say, look, there's definitely crime taking place. We definitely don't trust NYPD. What are we going to do about community defense? I don't know. Now that we dismantled the police and we're getting a property tax rebate, I hope that's what would happen. It probably wouldn't, because once the government gets their grubby hands on money, they don't really let it go. But let's assume that we could create that reality. What are we going to do with all this extra money that we have now? Okay, we could hire a private security firm. We see that this is working well in this neighborhood, this side of town. Let's try that for ourselves. These guys have a great reputation, great ratings. Let's get a contract with them. Or, okay, let's go ahead and organize neighborhood watch groups. Let's patrol the streets. Let's do walking groups where we walk and we report back to the central organizing committee of people that perhaps were former military, former law enforcement that got a clue, or just, you know, bigger guys or bigger women that are capable of defending, of engaging in physical violence if necessary to keep the peace. Let's arm people if you're in a state or a jurisdiction that allows firearms ownership. Let's do regular monthly trainings at the local gun range, whatever it is. We have the Detroit Threat Management Center. Obviously, people know after the 2007-2008 housing crisis, Detroit took such a big hit because the auto industry was over-leveraged, over-financed there in Detroit. Well, this gentleman named Dale Brown, I'd like to do an interview with him. He formed, I don't know if it was already there before, but he had the Threat Management Center where they would train people in self-defense, where they would train communities and organizations and neighborhood watches on how to defend themselves. And they had their own private security that they could roll out. This isn't some pie in the sky idea. This isn't total chaos. Rather, when people bring that rebuttal up, there would be mass violence, there would be rioting, there would be killings. That is already taking place. And in fact, perhaps in some of the cities where the police department is the most funded and the most powerful, we simultaneously see the most violence, the most brutality, and most killing, most murders. So this isn't a far-fetched idea. I would like people that agree with this idea to exercise this idea, to encourage it. If people want to take it into their own hands, they can go to freedomcells.org, form a freedom cell group in your area, look for an existing freedom cell group in your area, visit the city council meeting. Chances are this topic of defunding the police will be present in your city government meetings if you have a sizable city. Let's shift the conversation to one of dismantling, not defunding. And if anything, at the end of the day, which is a great negotiation tactic, if you get enough people over here that are saying we want to dismantle the police, it's going to be easier. And then there's people that we need to preserve the police. There's people that have jobs and they're doing a fine job. We just need reforms. It'll be a lot easier to meet in the middle at actually defunding and having some serious major reforms. But at the end of the day, it's not who's in control of the state, who the police chief is. It's not even necessarily the policies that are at play. That's the problem. It's the institution of the state, which holds a monopoly on the initiation of violence that weeds out and does not allow competition. It doesn't allow for alternative means of public safety. I should say, however, even if you have a municipal police department, if you're allowed to own firearms, you can still have a neighborhood watch group. You can still have a community defense group. You can still organize a freedom cell. But the problem exists, especially for poor communities, African-American, Latino communities who are disproportionately harmed by police. The problem still exists that when one of these police officers hurts, harms, kills one of these individuals, it is very difficult for them to be held accountable. If we had private security, they could be held accountable, take their contract away, prosecute them. If you had community defense, they could be held accountable. The community that the the organization is going to say, you know what, this guy has actually been, he's a hothead. He's got some problems. He's taken out some aggression. He needs to go home and do the work, do some self-reflection. We are going to disband him. He will not be formally an official part of our community defense neighborhood watch group or whatever. So yeah, that's my position. That's what I'm sticking to. We're at 30 minutes. I'm going to see if I can go through some of these comments here. There's so many of them. I want to thank everyone for watching and for participating. So no, we don't, we need good cops. Well, I mean, there are good people out there that are law enforcement. Another thing, we need to eliminate a lot of these violent, nonviolent crimes, non-victimless crimes. That would really solve a lot of problems to weaken the law enforcement. They're just going around harassing and harming all sorts of people that aren't doing anything. But I don't think it's the person that wears the badge. I think it's the badge that shields immunity a lot of people. Oh, here we go. A lot of conscious resistance fans. One world totalitarian government ruled from Israel by artificial intelligence in 10, 9, 8, 7. And the drug war. Deregulate the citizens. I like that. Psych tests could be a thing. Yeah, I think as a reform, psychological evaluations, steroid tests could be a thing, but I don't think that goes far enough. Hondo says it's called the Second Amendment. Yes, indeed. Firearms in the hands of peaceful people, law-abiding citizens, is definitely the way to go. Michael Alexander says no private solutions. I guess he only wants public solutions. That's okay. Stan Ulch says racism comes from all races. Indeed, it does. What's your point? There's good and bad everywhere, they say. They are brutal. Yes, law enforcement are incredibly brutal. Good for you. Private cops, private gun ownership, same thing. Would be nice here in Canada. No government policing, enforcing bad laws. All right, folks, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Alex Knight says, you need to somehow get this out to the InfoWars crowd. AJ's been on about this subject relentlessly for the past several days. Would be great for his audience to see here this perspective. I don't have a lot of faith in Alex Jones to change his perspective. He seems like one of his things that he does nowadays is simply parrot what Trump's position is, although he does resist at times. But yeah, Alex, if you're able to promote this out to InfoWars crowd by any means, get it out there. Dude, you need to research more before you think you can solve police problems. It's a society issue. Well, yeah, let's all do our work, because as Derek Bro says with the conscious resistance, if we were to have a free society without doing the work, then we would simply recreate the same problems that we had. So, yeah, I think everybody in society needs to do the work. I've been bashed and had a lot of bad dealings with the police my whole life. We don't need them or government. Now we're talking noble. That's what it's all about. All right, I can't go through all these comments, but I can engage you guys in the comments whenever this gets posted. Shout out to Brave New Books. Miss that store. I do, too. It's unfortunate that we lost our lease and had some issues with some other people involved, but maybe it'll come back someday with the owner of it. I don't know, but it was a good place. Maybe it'll be another space where people can gather and share their thoughts and everything like that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. John Bush, I'm out. Peace and freedom. Remember, rather than defunding and reforming the police, I think it's important now to seize the opportunity that this conversation is taking place, a conversation that many of us have been having for years and years now. It's a great opportunity to explore alternatives. The alternatives could be private security, community defense, neighborhood watch, firearms in the hands of peaceful people. Maybe some things that we haven't even thought up or thunk up. It's time to evolve, to innovate, because the killing has to stop. We do need to have peace, public safety. There's better ways to do it than monopoly municipal police. Peace and freedom. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.